them down.
It's no wonder that Biden is receiving his lowest approval rating. In the poll by Gallup, a third of respondents cited economic problems as the number one issue the country is facing at the moment, with the high cost of living and inflation as their highest concern. Other non-economic concerns most common among respondents were the government and its poor leadership, immigration, unifying the country, and crime or violence. Surprisingly, crime and violence was only the main concern of just 3% of respondents.
I think the most important factor for voters in 2024 is 100% the economy. The economy in the U.S. is out of control. The inflation is skyrocketing. It's something like $80 for just a bag of groceries. Rent prices are skyrocketing. Healthcare is extremely expensive. So I think that's the number one issue. And both candidates, or all candidates, are going to have their own, you know, pitches to the American public on how to resolve that. Unfortunately, it seems like not very much is going to change. Inflation has gone down a bit, but multiple banks have collapsed recently and been seized by the U.S. government. So the situation is quite dire, and it seems like with the sort of the collapse of U.S. dollar hegemony on the horizon, that the situation is just going to get worse. The homeless situation is especially bad. So I think that that Americans are rightly concerned about the economy.
Now, with more than a year left to the 2024 presidential race, polls are at it again. According to WPA Intelligence, examining seven national vote polls since mid-February, Donald Trump would lose to Biden by an average of 3.1%, while Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would win the popular vote over Biden by an average of 1.2%. Based on these polls, if the elections were held today, Donald Trump would lose to Joe Biden. Is the U.S. united or more divided?
Unfortunately, when it comes to United States citizens being united, they can sometimes emulate what our Congress does. They can be united when it comes to intervention. They can be united when it comes to war. They can be united with proxy wars against other countries. Unfortunately, where the United States people are united comes from a very bad foreign policy and a thought process that it was, you know, birthed from the Monroe Doctrine, that the United States military and foreign policy apparatus has the right to go around and police the planet. That's the only area in which our Congress is united, and that's the only area in which our citizens are united. Now, that's a small amount of citizens that are united, the people on the fray. But the people behind closed doors, I think a lot of Americans are growing tired of our foreign policy and tired of not just wasting so much money, but so many lives. So I think there is a unification on both fronts, for and against war. But unfortunately, they only show the parties that are united for war, and they silence the parties who are against war.
A new Wall Street Journal poll on the 2024 presidential election reveals more than half of American voters viewed both the current and former presidents very unfavorably. This is while among Republicans, Ron DeSantis is trailing Donald Trump by 13 points, 51-38%. 70% of respondents in an NBC News poll said they did not want Biden to run for re-election, and 60% said the same about Donald Trump.
The United States is not united at all. The name is somewhat ironic at this point. People are, constantly engaging in sort of a culture information war over things like social rights, abortion. Half the country is divided on both of those. Gun laws. There are people getting murdered, mass murdered every day. School children getting murdered every week, it seems. So I think that the United States is very much not divided. And even people more radical than sort of Democrats and Republicans are not united in any way at all. And unfortunately, it seems like that too is going to continue to get worse. I do believe that one thing that could help bring people together is, ironically, a fall of the economy, because people's priorities are not very much in order right now. And when they become less comfortable, it's easier to find common ground.
Fox News survey shows Donald Trump's advantage in the 2024 Republican presidential nomination race, since support for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is slipping. The survey also reveals that Joe Biden is supported by 62% of Democratic primary voters, while Robert Kennedy Jr. is far behind at 19% and Williamson is at just 9%. In the Republican camp, Trump has 53%, DeSantis 21%, Mike Pence 6%, and Nikki Haley at 4%.
The next election really is a recipe for disaster. People in the media and in the government like to play up January 6th as if it was an actual insurrection. Being there myself, I can tell you it was not. People were just starting to peek, look inside the window, the door, or whatever analogy you want to use, at our elections. And that's what that was all about. That's why there was so much of a heavy pushback from the government and our media about this whole situation, because they don't want our citizens looking into our elections ever again. Also, they want to take advantage of a crisis and put more restrictions on our civil liberties. And why would they let that go to waste? But this particular election has a lot more at stake, because people have called BS, which means bull, you know what. And they think that our election system hasn't gotten any better. In fact, there's a lot of people who think it's gotten worse. So let's not even talk about January 6th. If they cheat this next election, they might see something unprecedented like they've never seen before.
Fox News national survey shows higher approval ratings for Biden than the Gallup poll. In the survey, Biden's job performance rating held somewhat steady for more than a year at 44% approving and 56% disapproving of his performance. In the survey, 53% disapprove on national security, 54% on foreign policy, 60% on border security, and 64% disapprove of how he is handling the U.S. economy.
I think it's extremely likely that there are multiple crises that occur as a result of the increase of tensions, whether it's on the same level as people going into the Capitol building is a different story. But I do believe that it's only a matter of time until an event like that or an event similar to that happens again. And it could happen during the course of the presidential elections. People are very discontent with how things are, and it seems like both sides of the political spectrum are just interested in maintaining the status quo. And if that's the case, as I mentioned earlier, the economy is getting worse. People are very concerned about the threat of World War III. Fortunately, the Republicans are, some of them are trying to de-escalate the situation, starting to question why we're sending so much money to Ukraine, which is another very important issue for voters. Unfortunately, it does seem like the Republicans are more keen towards increasing tensions with China. So while you have the Democrats interested in the war in Russia, the Republicans are interested in the war with China. And there are very few people in between who are interested in no war at all.
A year and a half left to the 2024 election. Some of the main campaigns have started, and things are bound to get heated, getting closer to November 2024. Republicans, Democrats, and their supporters are divided on the most important issues, and this divide will reveal itself in frictions between the two camps. With all the tension and the majority of voters not wanting either Trump or Biden, Americans will probably have to brace themselves for quarrels and even conflicts in the near future.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the
studio. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Always a pleasure being with you, Brother Muhammad.
It's a pleasure to have you both back in the studio, helping me criticize the movie Transcendence that we have actually tried to do so from the last two episodes ago. Onward, and inshallah, or hopefully, we are going to finish our criticism of this movie, Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister, starring actors and actresses such as Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Kate Mara, to just name a few. Well, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Transcendence, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
You're not afraid, are you?
No.
My crew got a little spooked.
Well, how are you?
Better.
The physical enhancements are just the start.
What do you mean?
He's also connected to me. It's me, Evelyn.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, and hopefully we'll finish it in this episode. Let me start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. You know, in one part of this movie, the chief worker, when, you know, Rebecca Hall, or Johnny Depp's wife, basically, Evelyn, goes to another remote place in the U.S., and then she builds the whole factory on her own, and then one of the chief worker gets mugged and injured, if you remember, in that part of the movie. You know, he was cured immediately by the advanced technology and enhanced also, right? Dr. Castor, Johnny Depp, also connects himself to him. This is another reminder of reincarnation, isn't it? You know, if you remember, in a couple of episodes ago, we tried to criticize the movies with this theme.
Yeah.
This theme, this concept is becoming so epidemic and widespread everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Is there any movie without reference to it, basically, nowadays? What's wrong with the idea, according especially to Islam, Sayyid Abdullah?
The idea with what, reincarnation?
Yes.
Okay, so we in Islam, we don't believe in reincarnation. We believe in akhirah, which means when you die, you get transported to a different realm, and then, you know, from another realm to another realm.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't believe in the return of mankind back to here, because what would be the purpose? So what purpose would you serve and keep returning back into this world in different shapes and forms?
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely seems pointless, and that's an act of a person who is not wise. Now, if you believe that this since this Earth and this universe was created by a design, a mm-hmm. perfect design, then that actually defies the perfection of that design, that someone comes in the form of a cow, comes in the form of a monkey and a flower and a door, and it just doesn't make sense. And mm-hmm. towards end, and what's the purpose? Like, what purpose do I serve now as a human when I come back in an animal form? Oh, according to Buddhism, that's a punishment for my sins. And then I die from being a cow, and then it becomes something. It's just the idea is itself.
You get demoted if you have some defects. Yeah, this is what they say, right?
Then, yeah, Until you get to Nirvana, for example. That's a never-ending loop mm-hmm. of you changing forms. It's not going to stop.
Like a vicious circle in philosophy.
Exactly. So unless you tell me, no, okay, you get punished and then you go to another realm, then obviously they're trying to bring the punishment and adab in this world because they can't process how akhirah would be in the other world, how the punishment would be. So mm-hmm. depends on how they look at it. But the idea itself is just so insignificant that Islam doesn't even consider it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because no one ever came back from the dead. And no one, even if I was reincarnated, how am I supposed to know? No one knows. So mm-hmm. the idea itself is absolutely disregarded in Islamic theology.
I see.
But the idea is, like, with the movie itself, it's, I would think they were more, were inclined to think of the possibility of living eternally rather than regenerating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they fix this guy and other people were fixing the process, that no matter what happens to them, they come back. So they don't die. Humanity, since the beginning of the technology, the age of technology until now, they've been trying their best to come up with a pill or something that to make you last long, mm-hmm. live long. So all the
defy aging.
Yeah, so all the pharmaceuticals, all the medication, everything, and all the technology that's put there just to give you an extra life.
Mm-hmm.
So if technology can get to a point where it could make man not die or at least live a long life, or even if he dies, he can maintain his whatever, his body, then that's the thing that we want to achieve, eternity.
Right.
Or, you know, at least then we become...
Immortality.
Then we become gods.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Syed Abdullah. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014. Then we'll be back. Stay with us.
What are all these people doing here?
Rift posted a video of Martin online. It went viral.
Well, you mean you let it go viral?
These people are suffering, Evelyn. They have no hope. And I'm able to fix them.
But there are others who don't understand.
Paul has been blind since birth. The nanotechnology targets the damaged cells. It repairs and regenerates them.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014, starring Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Morgan Freeman, and so on and so forth. Well, Brother Yasser, you know, in one part of the movie, Johnny Depp's advanced tech or technology, Dr. Caster's technology in the movie, claims to cure every disease. Basically, it's like a miracle, or it does miracles, right? What's wrong with this facet of technology? Because as Syed Abdullah was referring to, usually you get the dark side of technology reflected in the Hollywood movies. But this aspect has not been given a lot of attention, basically, right? And there's always this intimidating part or dimension of AI, for example, being echoed in such movies, and they're trying to scare people of the consequences and the challenges involved. But isn't it something positive, or we are playing God?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. if a machine or something is able to cure a disease,
mm-hmm.
not to be scared about, it's something good. It may benefit people. But the goal of it is what you said previously about the concept of death.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fine, okay, you can be cured of any disease, but is that cure still going to keep you alive forever. It may keep you alive longer, but there's going to be a time where you will have to, you know, die. It actually may be a good thing. Why? Because normally when a person passes away, or, you know, you see that because it was because of some disease, or it is because of some ailment, some accident, some lack, some deficiency. But then now you're seeing, like, but funny enough, even today, like, you see some of the most healthiest of athletes just fall down and die. It's something quite common now. It's becoming this sudden death syndrome, it's called. Like, so even if that happens, that you have a machine that can cure all disease, it's not going to cure death.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it might be a good thing. Like, yes, fine. Doesn't mean, like, okay, I may live for another 5 years, another 10 years, another 5,000 years. Doesn't mean I'm going to live forever. And even then, it will not make the goal of my life here that.
Right.
It doesn't change the goal. It just makes me attaining the goal even maybe even more difficult. Anyway, that's another discussion itself.
Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, producing in 2014. Then we'll be back. Stay with us.
That thing. It's not Will. Never was.
You never believed. You never believed that there was anything more. Any part of his soul.
I spent my life trying to reduce the brain to a series of electrical impulses. I failed.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, producing in 2014, starring Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Morgan Freeman, Kate Mara, Paul Bettany, and just to name a few, with Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah. Syed Abdullah, let me ask you this last question. You know, Paul Bettany, in the movie, of course, as Max Waters, talks to Rebecca Hall, or Evelyn, Dr. Caster's wife, about trying to reduce the brain to a series of electrical impulses. And he admits that he failed. That's in reaction or reply to Evelyn's question whether to believe there is anything more to this life, basically soul. I think this is where they were targeting. Is that a good enough proof for the existence of soul? How can we prove the existence of soul or a spirit?
The simple way of proving the existence of soul is when you look at a dead body. When something leaves it and it just becomes a corpse and there's nothing there, then that's soul for you. What moves a body, we came to know, and this is like, does not need even a scientific analysis or, you know, even dissection. It's just, you see a dead body and you know that the soul left. Whoever was operating that body is no longer there.
Medically speaking, they may counter argue that there is a malfunction of one of the tissues or one of the organs. And see, then so, there you see.
Yeah, so with science, dead. This is what science came to. They said, well, this is one of the philosophical arguments, is that if man was just a consciousness, and a consciousness is just a cognitive process in the brain, and if that stops, then man stops. So that cancels the whole idea of ruh, or soul. If you want to look at it from a scientific perspective, yeah, there's an answer for everything. And obviously they would deny the existence of soul, just like they deny the existence of God. And then there would be no elephant in the room. So if you downsize the ruh, the soul, to a cognitive process that happens in the mind due to chemical imbalances or what have you, then this is what makes man or human being a human. And that stops, obviously, yeah, he stops. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, if you want to be a follower of science. But if you want to be, let's say, a religious thinker or a person of belief in the unseen, then God says no. Your soul is a driver and your body is a vehicle. and you've been given an expiry date. You drive your vehicle for 70, 80 years, and then the vehicle breaks down. That's it. You leave it. You come. You go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the process of life.
I see.
So you can look at it from a theological perspective, or you can look at it from a scientific perspective. The choice is yours.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And in this episode, alhamdulillah, we finished or ended criticizing the movie Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister. Of course, I know that there might be a lot of other questions crossing your mind, but unfortunately, due to the shortage of time, we can't deal with every one of those questions and challenges. Thank you very much for joining us and listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Oh my God, it's like my mind has been set free. I'm gonna need to expand. I need more power. Get me online.
This is no well.
Shut it down.
Shut it down? It's him!
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Your friends, they don't know the danger.
If she connects to the internet, the first thing it'll do is copy it up. And then there is no taking it down.
The real will die.
Whatever it is, it's
building an army out there.
What is this?
It's evolution.
This isn't evolution. It's an abomination.
What the hell's happening?
I'm able to fix them.
This has gone too far, Will. Stop it!
I don't understand. This is the future.
This is not our future.
Evelyn!
You're not here with me.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers, sisters, and dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at verse number 9 from Al-Sahif al-Sajjadiyah, from supplication number 8. The Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from su'ul wilayati liman tahti aydina, guarding badly over those who are in our care. Su'ul wilaya. So there is wilaya here. There is guardianship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made me in charge of somebody, whether it is a parent, a sibling, a spouse, or a child. And obviously the list goes up. So what am I meant to do here? What is the correct action or the right action in this case? And the answer is simply good treatment. Because you are in charge, anything you do will be counted. So sometimes when a person mistreats another person, this is between them
Like, it, you know, they between them, they go to court, they get solved. But when the king mistreats his servants, that's something different. Why? Because he has wilaya over them. He has guardianship over them. With my kids, if they fight between themselves, that's something that, you know, we can work out. But when I, as a father, as a guardian, misuse or mistreat them, then I am in trouble now. Because Allah says, not only you're a father, but you are wali, you are a guardian. With guardianship comes responsibility. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we said wilaya brings responsibility. It's a guardianship. We spoke previously about children being in our care. So we said we mistreat our children physically. This is absolutely haram because we're not allowed to hit them. Sometimes we mistreat them and mistreat this guardianship given to us by Allah in terms of not being nice to them verbally. We become very harsh. Whether we curse at them, we swear at them, we nickname them, we put them down. We have no right to do that either. Okay? And this is just bad parenting. And sometimes when it comes to their education, we fall short as well. And when it comes to education, there are two educations that we need to provide for them. One, as we call it, ilmul abdan, the sciences of this world, maths, physics, or what we call school these days, or university. We need to provide that knowledge for them to be able to read and write and understand and make sense of the world they're living in and secure an opportunity for themselves in the future and a career for themselves. That's the duty of the parent, to make sure that his kids are going to school and doing well in school. That's one. And we have ilmul adyan, which is more important. The sciences of religion. I need to give my children the proper Islamic teachings. And that is more important than school and university and every education out there. Why? The education of this world, it will always remain in this world. So becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer, whatever title you want to have, it will remain here. You can't take it with you to the afterlife. And it will not affect your afterlife as much. For example, if I'm not a doctor, if I'm not an engineer, if I have no profession whatsoever, it has nothing to do with my akhirah. As long as I'm a good, abiding servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not affect my akhirah. However, ilmul adyan, sciences of religion, if I don't give my children faith and religion, they will suffer in this world and they will suffer in the other world for eternity. If they are not raised well Islamically, it affects their eternity because the afterlife is eternal. Let us take a short break and then we'll elaborate more on this point.
Thank you.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to the program, Bridge. So we said if we don't provide our children with the science of Islam, with belief system, with a religion, then that will affect their eternity. Because they will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a faith, without religion, and as a result, it will be hellfire for eternity. As a father, as a mother, I am required to make sure that their faith is up to standard, their akhlaq is up to standard, their religion is up to standard. Sometimes we, especially with Muslim families, we, because we're Muslims, because we pray, because we fast, we assume our kids will follow. Now, sometimes they do follow. Most of the times, actually, they do follow. They become Muslims too. But that's where they stop. I'm just a Muslim. Their salah does not exist. Their siyam does not exist. Their acts of worship does not exist. And so on and so forth. And we have so many of these people today. They're happy being Muslims. Like even some sisters, they're very happy being Muslims. But when you look at them from the outside, there's nothing Islamic about them. So where do they fall short? Is because the parents fail to do their job in trying to upbring and raise their children. So I have a duty of care when it comes to me making sure that I give my children the proper Islamic teachings. Now, if a father does his job and he gives the proper teaching and the child does not want to listen or wants to rebel, that's his choice. But as a father, as a parent, as a mother, I need to make sure that my children are very well raised. Because on the day of judgment, we have a hadith, and it's a scary hadith for me as a father. It says that on the day of judgment, a person will be called to enter hell. And he will stand at the gate and says, God, I will not go to hell alone. Bring my father with me. And they bring the father. The father says, well, I haven't done anything wrong, oh God. Why are you bringing me to hell? And the answer comes to him, because you did not raise him correctly, you did not do your duty of care, su'ul wilaya, bad guardianship, he went to hell, and as a result, you were the cause. So you are going with him too. Let's leave it here. We will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را
یا سجاد.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has renewed bombing Gaza after killing 13 Palestinians. Two more people are killed in the first strike, taking the day's death toll to 15. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote in this regard, the Zionist regime fighter jets renewed their bombing of the Gaza Strip recently, hours after killing 13 people, including 10 civilians. Local media reported that an air raid targeted a vehicle in Qarara town in Khan Yunis, near the eastern fence separating Gaza and the occupied territories, resulting in two additional fatalities, bringing the day's total death toll to 15. The Zionist regime military said that the strike targeted an anti-tank guided missile cell. The attack followed several raids by the Israeli regime military in Gaza, which began shortly after 2 a.m. local time and killed at least 4 children, 5 women, and 3 Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders. Another 22 people were wounded in the morning raid, including 3 children and 7 women, some of whom are in a serious and critical condition. In response, the Joint Operations Room, JOR, an umbrella body of armed factions in Gaza, including Hamas and PIJ, issued a statement warning that the Zionist regime will pay the price for the raids. Meanwhile, hundreds of Israelis living in cities near the Gaza border have evacuated to the other parts of the territory, anticipating reprisal attacks. Bomb shelters have been opened and roads and beaches have been closed. Netanyahu said that he had ordered the targeting of the Islamic Jihad leaders following the recent rocket fire and that Israel prepared for any possibility. Palestinian armed groups had fired rockets towards the occupied territories following the death of Palestinian prisoner Khadr Adnan in an Israeli regime prison following nearly 3 months of hunger strike. A brief exchange of fire ensued, leaving one Palestinian killed and 2 Israelis wounded. The Islamic Jihad is considered the second largest armed group in the Gaza Strip behind Islamic Resistance Movement of Hamas, which governs the enclave. The group said in a statement that a response to the Zionist regime aggression will not take long. The recent airstrikes were the largest attack mounted by the fabricated regime of Israel against Gaza since August last year, when the military assassinated senior PIJ commander Taysir al-Jabari, triggering a 3-day exchange of fire. At least 49 Palestinians were killed in 2022 Israeli regime bombardment, including 17 children, and 360 others were wounded. Meanwhile, Middle East Eye reported Ahmad Asaf and Rani Qatanat were killed in a raid on Qabtia town near the city of Jenin. The Zionist regime forces killed 2 Palestinians in a dawn raid on the town of Qabtia in the occupied West Bank recently. The Palestinian Health Ministry identified the 2 men as Ahmad Jamal Tawfiq Asaf, a 19-year-old from Qabtia, and Rani Walid Qatanat, a 24-year-old resident of Jenin refugee camp. The Zionist regime forces sprayed a vehicle with bullets, killing Assad and Qatanat and wounding 3 others, according to local reports. The Zionist regime military said in a statement that assailants opened fire at IDF troops from a vehicle, and the troops responded with live fire. Eyewitnesses said a large army force raided the town near the northern city of Jenin under a heavy presence of drones and closed down the town's main streets. The Zionist regime forces ordered cars not to move through loudspeakers and stormed a number of Palestinian homes and surrounded others. Heavy gunfire and explosions were heard around the town as fighting then broke out between the Zionist regime forces and armed residents, eyewitnesses said. The incident brings the total number of Palestinians killed by Zionist regime forces so far this year to 108. A total of 19 Israelis have been killed over the same period. The recent raid comes a day after a series of Zionist regime strikes in the Gaza Strip killed 3 Islamic Jihad commanders and 12 civilians, including 4 children, leaving the two sides braced for a flare-up. Meanwhile, Wafa News Agency reported Israeli regime bulldozers recently demolished two Palestinian-owned apartments in the town of Jabal al-Mukabber in the occupied city of Al-Quds under the pretext that they were built without a permit. According to sources, the two apartments were 220 square meters each, owned by brothers Faraz and Ali Shogerat and inhabited by 10 people, mostly children. Faraz said that he had received a demolition notice from the Zionist regime authorities last February and that all the attempts to prevent the demolition of his apartment and his brother Ali's apartment were unsuccessful, pointing out that the occupation municipality court issued a decision about 2 months ago to freeze the demolition decision until next September. But he and his brother were informed by the lawyer last week that the municipality had submitted a request to the court to cancel the freezing decision, and the court approved the demolition.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear audience, welcome to this episode of Like Muhammad from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to have a look at different characteristics and aspects of the life of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, since he was a perfect example of a Muslim and servant of God. And in order for us to follow an example, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the best possible one. Well, today we want to talk about the love of knowledge in the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It is known that the scientific and cultural movement carried out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was multifaceted, and the Islamic era that began with his leadership in Medina was the beginning of a new era for all mankind and a covenant of science, culture, and knowledge. Prophet Muhammad's struggle was when he pronounced the Islamic call to spread the message of God, to remove the clumsy beliefs and black social patterns that accumulated in that pre-Islamic community. Reading is the first teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. You know that the first clear verses descended on the Holy Prophet of Islam were that wonderful call to knowledge and science through reading in the Surah Al-Alaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Prophet, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a clinging substance. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew not. And this saying of God was not only for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, but for all people, to clarify them from the very first step, but rather from the first word that Islam has came to erase ignorance and spread science and knowledge. From the first word of revelation of the Quran, اقرأ or read, God continues to remind believers that seeking knowledge is the best way to attain success in this world and hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 58th verse of Surah Al-Mujadila, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah will raise up to suitable ranks and degrees those of you who believe and who have been granted knowledge, and Allah is well acquainted with all you do. You see that how, according to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much loves His knowledgeable servants so much that He gives them high ranks. As you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ummi, or eligible, before the time of his prophethood. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't learn what he knew about religion from any religious scholar. It was a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put knowledge and science of everything in his heart. He was a human being. He didn't live in the midst of the nations he spoke of, didn't inherit any knowledge of their civilization or learn it from a teacher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that regard, Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 48, you didn't use to recite any scripture before it, nor did you write it with your right hand, for then the impugners would have been skeptical. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true knowledge lover. He also encouraged Muslims to go for science and learn it, though it be in difficult situations or distant locations. Even nowadays, Muslims are highly recommended to study at high levels in both religious and non-religious fields. There are lots of reasons for such emphasis on learning knowledge in the Holy Prophet's lifestyle or sunnah. One is the recommendation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on several times in different occasions. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever travels a path in search of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him traverse in path to paradise. Verily, the angels lower their wings in pleasure for the seeker of knowledge. The inhabitants of the heavens and earth, even the fish in the depth of the water, seek forgiveness for the scholar. The virtue of the scholar over the worshipper is like the superiority of the moon over the stars. Verily, the scholars are the inheritors of prophets. The prophets do not leave behind gold or silver coins, but rather they only leave behind knowledge. Whoever takes it has taken hold of an abundant fortune. This is only one of his narrations about knowledge. Okay, dear listeners, let's have a short break and we will be back in no time.
My heart is so full of longing. I wish to be close to my beloved. I dream to walk in the streets of Medina and to quench the thirst of my spirit by visiting you, O Muhammad. As-salamu alayka ya, ya Rasulallah. As-salamu alayka ya Habibi, ya Nabi Allah. As-salamu alayka ya, ya Rasulallah. As-salamu alayka ya Habibi, ya Nabi Allah, ya Rasulallah.
Welcome back, dear audience. You are listening to Like Muhammad from Arabic English Radio. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a scholar is 70 times better than an ascetic. Again, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated to say, the world with all that it contains is accursed except for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which pleases Allah, and the religious schools and seekers of knowledge. You can seldom find a religion that insists on knowledge this much, and this is one unique feature of Islam. Another point about knowledge in Islam is that one of the purposes of the prophetic mission was to teach and make people aware. There is one verse in the Holy Book of Quran that directly speaks about the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam to teach people. In the second verse of Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds that it is He who sent to the unlettered people an apostle from amongst themselves to recite them His signs, to purify them and to teach them the book and wisdom. And earlier they had indeed been a manifest error. It is narrated that once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the mosque and found two groups of people gathering there, a group of worshippers and a group of people who were discussing about scientific issues. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined the second group and said, "I have been sent to teach." The fact is that Islam necessitates learning under any condition. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The acquisition of knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim, whether male or female." I hope that every one of us would take advantage of these narrations and verses and the lifestyle of our great prophet and seek for knowledge, because for sure it will be beneficial for us in this life and hereafter. Thank you very much for being with us. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
practice.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam, Hashimi Najat. Please stay tuned.